Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be. You know, God is on the move within this church, and it's up to you whether you release what God is doing or not. And that's a great weight upon my shoulders. But can I say, echo those words, God is on the move. I mean, Pam is here, Clive's mum. Pam, would you have ever thought that me being your adopted son would be a leader of a church and your son would be leading worship? God is definitely on the move. We're both tone deaf. He has a sense of humour. So I just want to ask you to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and we speak with slightly different accents, don't we, Chet?
Yeah.
So listen to what God has to say through this man. And I just want to say before he speaks that I've been privileged to walk with Chet over the last couple of years. And sometimes when we don't see with our natural eyes, we don't think God is doing anything. And I can say from experience and watching this man, he has been through the lows. And he has challenged God, maybe stamped his feet at times and gone, I thought you said you loved your children. Why haven't I had work for over 2 years? Why am I going through this? Why am I feeling this? And at every step, Chet has got to a position where he had a choice. Do I follow God or do I follow man? And he chose to follow God. And I'm assuming that this will be the trilogy of what God has been doing in your life, yes?
Looks like, yeah.
Nice and clear.
Well, thank you for that setup, Andrew. I hope I can live up to it. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the third time I'm standing in front of this congregation, trilogy, as Andrew has said. And today I'll try to speak slowly so that my accent will not, you know, make me unintelligible in that sense, yeah? I just want to say about my journey over the past 18 months. It's been a journey, really, and that's the best way I'll put it. And I believe God is encouraging me to talk about it so that it can encourage someone here. Yeah, so where do I even start? Okay, I'll start with the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. This has been one of my favorite passages in the Bible for a long time. And over the past 18 months, I've actually lived through this passage in my life. So let me read it out. This is the New International Version. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Okay. I'll do a bit of recap of some of the things I've talked about in the past, then I'll do a conclusion, and I'll try to do that under 25 minutes, hopefully. me and my family moved to Downer Market in July 2016. I just started working for a small engineering firm in Downer Market. I'm a what you call a chemical engineer, process engineer by trade. My specialist is energy systems, so build power plants, oil and gas infrastructure, that kind of thing. And I came to Downer Market to deliver a project for this company. They were looking to build a waste-to-energy plant, and I was supposed to lead that project. And they promised me almost everything I could imagine to bring me over here, because this kind of works, you don't usually find them in this area, so people are reluctant to move here. But they said, okay, you have all the skills we want. We'll give you this, give you that. I'm like, okay, fine, let's give it a shot. It looks like a good opportunity. But within a month of us moving, I think I started work in April. I was commuting from Milton Keynes area. And then within a month of us moving in July, I knew that something was terribly wrong where I was working. Something was terribly wrong. And in hindsight, looking back, it was clear that my direct boss, the person I was reporting to, felt threatened by me and proceeded to make my life a living hell in that sense. I get home every day. I'm still processing the kind of injustice I go through every day. Weekends, I'm barely able to give my kids the time they deserve. It was a very harrowing period. I struggled to remain Christian. I tried to, turn the other cheek and try to do what I knew was right according to Scripture. I struggled. I don't want to say I succeeded, but I'll say I struggled. I kept trying to be Christian. By March 2017, they then told me that, okay, they didn't have any, and the business is not coming in, the project is failing because we're not getting the right technology suppliers to get a gas fire, and all that is technical details I don't want to go into. But they just told me that, look, it's not working out, not because of anything you've done, even though I knew otherwise, we need to make you redundant. Okay, that was a shock, and, it's not something that has happened to me before, and okay, so when that happened, I knew I had grounds to sue, because I had evidence of what was going on. I had serious grounds to sue, but, I felt Scripture says, let God be the judge, and quite frankly, I didn't want to waste time with people that didn't want to do what needed to be done. Just, okay, let God be the judge, let me move on. So when I did that, like every human being, I thought, God owes me now. I tried to be Christian, I tried to do what was right. I didn't sue anybody. So you're going to give me an excellent opportunity. I'm going to move on to something bigger and better. I didn't realize that was the beginning of my journey. So I started applying for jobs, ones that, my capability warrants, because it sounds boastful, but where I was at that point in my career, I felt I have all of these skills. I have all of these qualifications. I don't want to say it, but I have all these skills and these qualifications, so I should be able to get something very easy. But I kept on applying. I was barely getting any interviews. I started writing articles, inside documents on a professional site called LinkedIn, just to show people that, hey, look at me, I know all of this stuff. Come get me. Well, I'll get thousands of views, hundreds of likes, hundreds of shares. Well, this guy knows what he's talking about. But no one will call me in for anything. Okay, so by September, I started getting a bit concerned. My wife and kids, I encouraged them to go and spend time with grandparents back home in Nigeria. And I was alone here. I actually went over to Nigeria in September and came back in October. And I was alone here. I think that was the first time that a realization came to me that, okay, I am in a mess here. Like, this is a big, this is really huge. At that point, I think my anger of my situation, my anger at God, began to express it. I was really, really angry. At some point, I could even barely get out of bed. I could barely do anything in October, around this time last year, actually. And even with that, I tried my best to hold on. I tried to keep coming to church. Andrew was in my ear, just encouraging me. And I'm someone that likes to read a lot. I was too much, even, I would say. But at that period, I could not even pick up Scripture to read, because I was really, really, I didn't want to. I said, God, you let me down. But the little I could do at that point was I could use audiobooks. I started listening to Christian authors on audiobooks. And there was this author I came across, Timothy Keller. He has a church in Manhattan, and he wrote this book called Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. And in listening to that book, it then dawned on me, or God then, in his mercies, revealed to me that that I had an idol, a counterfeit God, if you will. Most of us have it, dare I say, all of us have it, we don't know that we have it. Some of us might be a partner that we depend on and rely on for everything, that the thought of them disappointing us brings us to despair. Some of us might be children that we put all our hopes and dreams upon, and we crush them with our own desires that, rather than letting them grow to discover who they are. And for me, it was success, accomplishment, chasing after, the things of this world, if you will. And another thing that was playing on my mind was that I wanted to be an excellent representative of what a successful black man would look like, yeah, because I felt the portrayal of people that look like me isn't great. And so that was something that I really wanted to show. And so to be in the position where I was, you know, looking for work was, yeah, I felt I had failed in that, and that crushed me. That I was in despair. So when the Lord revealed that to me, I realized that, okay, yes, this is an idol. Yes, you can be disappointed when you lose something, but it should not crush you. It should not bring you to your knees the way that had brought me. So, again, First Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 7, I had to humble myself, yeah? Humble myself before my God and cast all my anxiety off to him because he is God. And at that point, I said, okay, fine. I realize what I've done. I'm going to get up and start moving again. And I did. I came to church and, you know, I just felt led to share that day. You know, you were standing. So I shared about my discovery, thinking that everything is over now. I'll be able to move on from this. So I started applying for jobs that I was more than qualified for, things that many would say were beneath me, but I still wasn't getting called because I just thought, let me just get back to work, let me just move on. But no one was giving me an opportunity, no one was giving me a shot. I went back to Nigeria and spent Christmas with my family and my parents. We came back in January, and still there was barely any opportunity out there for me to get back to work. We had run our savings, but it was basically depleted. We're now getting into debt, and it was a trying time again. And I was wondering, okay, so I discovered this and I'm still here. By the middle of February again, I was now down and out. Again, I was thinking, what is going on? Keep in mind that even though we were getting into financial difficulty, we never lacked. We always had something. Even when we're, let's say, there's a bill coming up out of nowhere, someone would just say, oh, Chet, I know it's been a tough time. Here's this, you hold on to this. I'm thinking, okay, oh, well, thank you, God, you know. He was there, he was providing, yeah. But I felt the injustice of the whole thing, that a year had passed since I'd left job and had not had anything. I felt it was a bit too much. I felt self-justified in the fact that I am this person with this much qualification. I think I should just call it out so you guys can understand where I'm coming from. So I've got a PhD, I'm a chartered engineer, I'm a certified project manager and all those things. And I felt this person in this situation should not be that. I could not see anybody that had the kind of things I had that was in the situation that I was. It also became clear, really, as in the The racial aspect was having a big impact in my job search. It also became clear that, well, people that look like me don't look for these kinds of jobs, these kinds of opportunity. So that's why you may not be given a second look. And I got so fixated on that. Why? I am a child of God. This should not be happening. At that point, though, again, God found a way to get through to me. First of all, it was the church. People from church were reaching out to my family. I don't want to embarrass anyone here, but I'll really call out names. Kurt, Rosemary and the boys, AJ and Jackie, Tom and Tracy, of course, Andrew and Susan, they were in my ear checking upon us and just finding out how we're doing. And that was really encouraging. God also brought what I called new old friends into my life. There was this lady I grew up with all the way in the northern part of Nigeria. We're together when we're 10, 11, 12, or something like that. And my wife bumped into an African couple in Tesco's in Dano Market. They exchanged numbers and decided to get together for dinner. And okay, where did you grow up? Okay, what secondary school did you go to? Okay, what's your name? Are you this person's sister? You know, it was such a shock that we'll come to the other side of the world and meet each other. And her husband is a pastor as well in a church in Kingsley. And one thing he also came close, and he told me about a similar, I would almost say almost the same thing that he went through 5 years ago that made him leave his career behind and start a ministry. Yeah. So it was like, these things happen to believers. You're not any special. It happens. Just hold on. And it was at that point that the Lord then revealed to me my self-justifying justifying attitude. In Luke chapter 16, verse 15, our Lord says, you are the ones that try to justify yourselves in front of men. That was exactly what I was doing. He was speaking to the Pharisees, and that was exactly what I was doing. I wanted to let everyone know that I shouldn't be in this position. I have all of these things. I shouldn't be here. I should be, you know, doing all these great things. But that was just in front of man. God is all that matters. God is the one that can see my heart. God is the one that can see what's going on with me. So that was a release. That was a major release for me. I need to let go of this self-justification. Then, you know, the praise and worship today, there was a lot of songs about storms. Yeah, that period I was reading the story in I forget what gospel it is. I think Luke, yes, the gospel of Luke again, of when our Lord was sleeping in the boat while the storm was going on, and the disciples were, oh God, Lord, please help us. Do you want us to die? And then he just got up and be still. He stilled the storm, and they all, you know, okay, who is this that even the wind obeys him? And he said, where is your faith? Although some translations say, how little faith you have, I prefer the one that says, where is your faith? Because really, where is your faith? If your faith is in God, then the storm is nothing. Yeah? It doesn't matter how big, how powerful your faith is, or how strong your faith is. Is as long as you have that faith in God, as small as a mustard seed, that's all that matters. So that was very encouraging. Then, you know, a lot of scriptures kept coming to mind that I was familiar with, like Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Okay, so you tell me these things. You tell me these things in scripture. How come my life is this way? You know, just it was so maddening. Then a key verse that I then found, that then gave me the strength to move, to get up in faith again, was in Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21, where our God says, whether you turn to right or turn to left, I will hear your voice. You hear your voice behind you telling you this is the way you should go, walk in it. So that made me see that it didn't matter what I did, where I went, whatever I, as long as my feet was in the right place, he would tell me where to go. So because one reason why I could barely do anything was that I was thinking, whatever I do, it doesn't matter. I've tried everything, it has failed. But that scripture told me that just walk. And at that point, I was getting a lot of leadings to promote my own company, which I had started a while ago. So I decided to do that. I decided to create a new website, put a lot of my efforts on that. I decided to start writing articles again to encourage people to come to my website and see what I could offer. And during this period that I realized that self-justification was a huge thing in my life, the 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9, where it says, let me just remember that. Be alert and of sober mind, your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Where is your faith? Yeah? Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So the pastor I just met who told me about what he went through, that was also an encouragement. There's always, he let me know that there's always light. I can't see now, but there's always my redemption, my vindication is coming. So yes, I put a lot of effort. This was from the end of April, May, June. You know, I attended a conference or seminar where a lot of people were interested in what I had to say. You know, people got my business cards. Okay, we'll get you on to do this project. I got calls from recruiters that were, okay, your skills are the right match for this particular project. You know, you are just what we are looking for. And that kept me going because I felt, okay, God is answering my prayers. Yeah, that kept me going. And in Gospel of Matthew, where our Lord fed them 5,000 people, the way he did it was that he said, what do you have? We have five loaves of bread and two fish. And then he was like, bring what you have, bring it to you have. So that also encouraged my thought. Okay, I am bringing the little I have. God is going to multiply it for sure. And I thought, okay, I've come. This is it. I'm over this period. This storm is over. This valley experience has come to an end. Then at the end of June, after I'd released a massive, I spent, I think, a good month writing this massive document about the gas industry and how things are going and where people should be investing. I released this document. It got a lot of interest. Then nothing. Everything just died down. The people that were calling me for projects, they stopped taking my calls. The people that wanted me to come and to apply for a position, they just went quiet. It was so silent that I was like, okay, what is going on here? After all this interest of these past 2 months, everything just over like that. I hate to say it, but again, I was. What's going on? It's like I tried everything. Nothing is happening. It was a difficult the month of July to be. I would say the month of July was a difficult month for me. One thing I used to do was that because I found it difficult to, even though I read scripture from time, I found it difficult to focus. I would just flood my mind with media, read about what's happening in the world. Get angry about all the injustices in the world, you know. Flooding my mind. So one day, I think this went on for too long. I knew, because by then, the Lord had worked on me so much that I knew that what I'm doing isn't right, yeah. He said, yes, I should bring the little I have. He didn't say he'll give me the increase, the multiple immediately. I should keep working. But I just, the motivation wasn't just there. So one day, I think it was a weekend, by the beginning of, or middle of August, I was online doing all the media stuff. I found myself by some chance on YouTube, and by some chance, something I never watched, America's Got Talent, okay? I tried to watch this particular performance by this lady. First of all, by the way, who has heard of Mandy Harvey here? Okay. So this lady is deaf, right? She had been singing when she was 5 years. From when she was five, she had been learning how to sing, but by the time she turned 18, she lost her hearing. And she could barely do anything. Like she lost her hearing. But then here she is. She's 29 years old, and she's performing in America's Got Talent, and she's singing. And she sang this song called "Try." I was okay. Then one of the judges, Simon Cowell of all people, asked her, "Why? Tell us about this song." She said, "Well, when I lost my hearing, I couldn't do anything. I folded my hands. I was in despair. But I wanted to do more with my life, and I just decided I was going to try." Okay. Then she sang. She sang one, a very beautiful song called "Try." Keep in mind that this lady could not hear. She has not listened to any music for the last 10 years. Okay. For the last 10 years, but she was able to sing such a beautiful song. And the lyrics of that song had things like, "The only thing in my way is me. I will just try." So I decided to Google her a bit more. Well, not surprised, but it was obvious. When I found out that she was Christian, I was like, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense then. So her faith helped her to do something. They call her the miraculous singer. Well, yes, in a way, but she trusted her God. That's what she did. It was Saturday I found out. I listened to that song and read about her Saturday, Sunday. It's like, I have everything. Opportunities have been denied to me, but the only thing in my way is me. I know my God is for me. I should just try. I should just take a step in faith. And Monday morning, I'm going to do something. You know, by the time, before it was noon, I was getting calls of, "Please, could you bid for this project? I really like you to bid for this project. It's going to be based in Egypt, but we are delivering it from Italy, and we are looking for someone like you to bid for this project. So tell us what it will cost. I started getting calls. Reporters started calling me. It's like someone just turned open a tap. They were like, "Okay, what's going on?" I was flat out busy for the next month. I couldn't catch a breath. I was bidding for this project. I had this interview with this major engineering company that was my dream job. It was my dream job since I left uni. And I went over to Redner, I did the interview, and they called me back and gave me a fantastic offer. Okay, wow. This is something that has not had that. Then another company that we're looking for someone with my exact skill. Then this company they were talking to me in June, but they went silent. Then they came back in August, and they said, please, "Don't take that offer before you talk to us. You need to come in and let's talk to you. Don't take that offer." Okay, I went in and I had a chat with them, and they came back and they gave me an even better offer. Okay. Then I was in a position of strength in the sense that I could negotiate. It's not like I'm just thinking what they're giving me. And I told them, "Look, I have this company which I started running, and I have these projects. That, okay, as long as you don't do any work in the area of our specialty, that's fine." So I've been able to keep my own company going, and I have a project that I'm bidding for in an area that is different from what this company is offering, and I decided to accept the role, and I'm starting on the 22nd of this month. So, There were so many things that happened from the day I decided to trust God and just walk. And the day I could go on and on and just tell you about the things that happened. But what I learned from that prayer was that all I needed was patience. I said I trust God. Yes, okay, you trust him. Now show your trust. You need to be patient. You need to be patient and trust that things are going to work out the way, well, maybe not the way you expect, but things are going to work out because his plans are to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. So I find myself in a privileged position now where I'm sharing with you about my scars of the last 18 months. I feel very privileged to be doing that. I find myself that what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, now I'm looking at verse 10 to 11, the last part of that scripture, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. So I find myself in that privileged position. And then I cannot remember the verse right now, but he says, he comforts us so that we can comfort others. I felt led to share this, that because with these scars, I'm stronger. I've been able to overcome idols that I didn't know I had. We think idols are the statues that people build and put. No, there are actually things, good things that we have in our lives. They are good things, they aren't bad things, but the problem is when we put so much meaning or so much into them that they cast a shadow over our love for God. Yeah? So we need to be careful with that. I've been able to recognize the self-justification. It's good to want to be a symbol. It's good to want to be an example to others. But what should be the basis of your, how I put it, your judgment or of how you judge yourself should be where you are with God, your work with God, and not what man says about you. Then when you say you trust God, as in if he is the God that sent his son as a sacrifice for us so that we can approach him, to bring us into his kingdom, if he's the God that is beyond our thoughts, as scripture tells us, then we should be patient and just trust him and just walk. So I learned three very important lessons which has made me grow in faith and made me stronger. Let me end this by thanking the church for individuals, for their prayers, for me and my family, and for being the body of Christ in our lives. Because there are lots of times that just a phone call or just asking about, you know, when I was in the spirit of self-justification, there are some opportunities that I'll not even look at, but just questions that will prompt my thinking or that will challenge my position helped. Kurt, thank you. I know you're thank you. So if you are going through a valley experience right now, I know we all have our things that we face. I want to leave you with this advice from Timothy Keller. I would recommend that if you like books or if you can do audiobooks, listen to what that guy has written or has said. So he mentioned 10 things that we should be aware of when we are walking with God through pain and suffering. He says that there are different variations of suffering. And it's okay, however you feel, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with feeling anger. There's nothing wrong with feeling despair. It's okay, you're not sinning against God. It's okay to feel hard done by. And there are different ways God helps us in our sufferings. And this is key, this is so key, because God uses our temperament to help us. So I'm someone that likes reading and research and all these other intellectual pursuits. And God used that to get to me. He used what someone else didn't get to me. And even when I wasn't in that frame of mind, I was flooding my mind with media, God used that to get to me too. Yeah, so it doesn't matter what your temperament is. Yeah, I know there's someone I knew in my old church in Cranfield, Milton Keynes area. He doesn't like to read. But once every month he just picks a verse from scripture and just, okay. And that sustains him for a week. That he, when I have conversation with him, it is clear that that God has used that, just that tiny thing that he picked up to get to him, to edify him, to help him grow. So God uses our temperament to get to us. It's okay to weep. It's okay to complain to God. It's okay to be honest about how you feel. We see it in scripture. Job was so honest, so raw. It's okay. But even with that, you need to trust God. You need to trust him. Because if you don't trust him, or if you don't have the desire, I'll say the desire to trust him, then there is little for him to work with. You need to give him the right position in your life. You need to pray. You need to hold on one way or the other. You need to want to love God. Even at that point you're angry at him, you just say, okay, I want to love you. You need to think about scripture. You need to also reason with scripture in how scripture says, like in a psalm, it says, why are you so down, my soul? Why are you so down, my soul? Right? So if you think about who God is and all the promises he has made, reason it out for yourself. I know when you are suffering, it's not, you don't want to think about such things, but when you reason it out for yourself, it gives you comfort. Suffering is a good time for you to self-examine as well. It enables you to grow. That was what happened to me, especially when I recognized my idols. Suffering is a good time for you to reorder your loves. So it's okay to like good things. God's not saying you shouldn't, but the problem is when you love those things too much compared to God, or you love God too little in proportion to those things. So you need to put God where he should be in your life. And importantly, do not shirk community. The church, especially the church where you not find people that are called miserable comforters by Job. Yeah. People that will actually be a shoulder to cry on and listen and not judge you. Open yourself up to that community. It's a law of support. Then the final thing that Tim Keller says, that then you should learn to repent and forgive. There are difficult things to do, but when you see, you should be willing to accept what God has given you through our Lord Jesus. And should be willing to let go of what people have done to you and trust that all things come together for the good of those who love God and who have been called according to his purpose. So that's what I have for you today.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.